Multifamily investing is still seen from a lender's perspective as some of the most desirable assets to lend into. People need a place to live. People need housing. It's more expensive, but that's going to be the first bills that they pay.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Coming at you with all things multifamily real estate investing every Monday. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. And today, we're doing a little different today. I'm going to replay an older episode that I recorded. It was an interview. And the reason I'm doing that is because I think it's very timely. And the reason for that is we're talking about lending. We recently had another increase of rate hike, another 25 basis points. There's a lot of talk about all these bridge debt, bridge loans that are coming to term. They'll be seeing their balloons happen this year, the next 8 to 12 months. And so the question is, what happens if I find a deal? What type of lending should I be using? And what does that look like? What are the rates, LTV, loan covenants? Can I finance the CapEx? All these great questions. In today's market, we're kind of going away from some of the traditional lending sources, right? Because bridge debt, you don't want to do anything that's really floating at this point, right? Or short term, 2-year term, because we don't really know. The dust hasn't really settled yet, right? The forward curve still says there's going to be cuts coming in 2024, but that's the forward curve based on today, the beginning of May. A month from now, the whole landscape could completely change. So I always stress longer term fixed debt if you can get it. But if you're going to do fixed, there are fixed bridge debt products, right? But those are going to be super high. That's nearing 10% interest rate. And still, you still have the issue of a 2-year term, right? It's 2-year plus one plus one. But as I've explained to everyone before, is that the plus one plus one. So if you're not familiar with that, that means that after the 2-year term comes, you can add an extension, a 1-year extension. And then if you want another year extension after that, 3rd year, so a total of 4 years. But the thing about the extensions is it's not just, okay, I want to do it. No, it's the lender has to also approve it. They look at how the deal has been running for the last 2 years, how it currently, what's the whole economic situation, the economic health of the deal, and do they actually want to proceed? Is there too much risk? Maybe they'll say no, right? That's the issue. That's the fear. So even going with a fixed bridge loan right now, there's still fear in the market, right? There's still uncertainty that even though it's fixed rate, it's still 2-year term. So then you say, okay, what about agency? Well, with agency, if you're going to do a fixed rate agency, you've got something called yield maintenance where they want to get paid a certain yield. So if you want to get out of it early, say you have a 7-year term, 5-year term, and you want to get out of it early, say year 2, year 3, you're going to be paying something called yield maintenance, which is essentially, if you went full term, you would have paid X amount of interest, right? Well, now you're getting out, especially say if you're in an environment where rates go down, now they're going to be making less money. They're going to take that money and then go lend it out. And now the interest rate's lower, so they're going to make less money. You're going to pay that spread, right? Now, if interest rates go up, yield maintenance, then you can kind of get out with little to no fee because then they can go recycle that money and make more money and they like that, right? Well, we're kind of in a spot right now where rates really going to go that much higher. Again, that might go a little bit, but like, significantly enough where your yield maintenance will come down? I don't think so. So then do you go agency? Floating rate aspect of agency, right? Where prepayment penalty is different. It's not based off yield maintenance like that because it's floating. They can adjust the rate. But then again, do we really want to get into a floating rate instrument at this time? I don't think so. So the next two things that I look at are regional banks and credit unions. They usually have more favorable terms. They go up, especially because it's local and they know that market. Go up a little more on the LTV. Usually the rates are more competitive. Generally, they will finance the CapEx. They have different products. You can do a 5-year, a 7-year, a 10-year, and usually you can refinance within their own, within the bank or the credit union. You can refi before the term's over without just like a typical refi cost of doing a refi, but no penalty, right? As long as you're keeping it within their umbrella, right? So that's an option. And reason why I'm replaying an episode, and this was from back in November. So there will be some probably things we talk about, state of the market stuff that probably maybe did come to fruition or didn't because it's a different time now. But he talks about, my guest, Mark Ritter, talks about different products we can use and credit union. He talks about credit unions. And I think it's very timely because this is a solid avenue to go down. And it's what people should be looking into. So he talks about what is a credit union, what do they look for, how you should be approaching them, working with them, and just all the nuances of working with a credit union. So I think this is a timely episode to go back and listen to. So we're going to replay it for you right now. So without further ado, here's the episode with Mark Ritter. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the conversation and hope to help your audience out a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. We just briefly spoke and I think we're going to have some good topics to talk about today, and especially about the current of the state of the market, which is, I'm sure, the top of most people's mind. But before we get into that, if you could just tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Sure. My name is Mark Ritter. I am the CEO of MBFS, which stands for Member Business Financial Services, but we always just call it MBFS. And I have been in the credit union business for 20 years, doing exclusively real estate investment financing and business commercial financing. That's all we do. And I spent 10 years at a large credit union in central Pennsylvania, and 10 years ago shifted to what's called a CUSO, and that's CUSO, Credit Union Service Organization. And essentially, we are a company owned by 13 credit unions, and we work with about 90 credit unions all over the country just to facilitate real estate investment financing for the credit unions. We provide loan origination, we provide back office support, we bring borrowers to credit unions and help them shop and navigate the environment. And really today, I love credit unions. It's a great source of financing, but it's quite an unknown commodity. 20 years ago when I started, it was virtually non-existent. And today it's infinitely bigger, but we're still the unknown kid out there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I've used credit union once on a student housing deal. But before that, I knew it was out there, but it was just something I never had pursued. But sometimes you can get the, obviously, if you do not agree, please say so. But from my experience, I feel like sometimes you can get the most competitive rates and terms in specific situations where maybe a national lender doesn't understand a smaller market, a niche market where the credit union does because they're there and they understand that market. So they're willing to get more competitive on rates and terms. That's what I've experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. There are credit unions that are national broad-based lenders. Most of them are what I call regional lenders. And just like you said, if you have a deal in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the big guys may look and say, I don't want to lend in Scranton. But usually, almost every single market in America, there's a credit union in that area that wants to lend in that community at competitive rates because it's good for them, it's good for the borrowers, and it's good for business.
Yeah, definitely. They want to keep their community strong, so they definitely want to lend in it for sure. Kind of like a network or a group of credit unions across the country. So how does that work? Is it like, if you're my guy, I come to you, but maybe the deal I have is not in your market, but you know another credit union in that market. Is that how you'd kind of facilitate that and work as a group, or am I completely off base there?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me roll back for a minute. And many people don't even know what a credit union is. So if I explain that, then it'll make it a little easier. Credit unions, they have all the same services. They look like a bank. They have ATMs and drive-through lanes and checking accounts and auto loans and commercial loans. But really what's different is underneath. What they are is a not-for-profit financial cooperative. So when they say, who owns a credit union? The answer is the members. The members elect the board of directors who oversees the credit union in the direction of the organization. So it's really that cooperative spirit is what I hope you found different when you talk to a credit union versus some other options.
Oh, definitely.
And one of the pieces of being a cooperative is other cooperatives work with other cooperatives, which is exactly the genesis for our organization. And I'll give you a good example. I'm here in suburban Philadelphia, but we have staff all over the country. If we have somebody who comes to us and is a member of a local credit union, but say their project is in Florida, or many people, somebody in Pittsburgh is buying a property at the Jersey Shore, but if they have a property in Florida, well, my local credit union probably lend within a few states, but we have lenders in another area who will we then just roll that over? And most credit unions, too, are comparative to the bank world, relatively small institutions. There are some mega credit unions out there, but on average, they're what I would consider the presence of a community bank. So also what we do is really aggregate the credit unions together. So their lending capacity is many times greater than they could individually be.
For the listeners, what are some of the benefits of going with a credit union, maybe to do a commercial loan for a multifamily building versus going to your traditional bank or traditional lender?
Sure. And I don't want to be too altruistic about what we do. Money's money. And when we lend money, we expect to get it paid back and we look for creditworthy people.
Yep.
So I need your financials. I need your tax returns. I usually get rent rolls and all of those types of things that you would get for any other deal. What do we generally have more ability is to structure something that makes sense for you in your situation. And that's more of a conversational setting. We don't just simply take your numbers. It goes to that black box at headquarters and spits out a yes or no. It's much more of a conversation. So sometimes maybe a borrower may get frustrated because we want to meet you. And we want to walk the property and we want to learn who you are today, but more where you're going so we can build for the future. You know, most people like that. If that's what you're looking for, credit unions are a good option. If you just want widgets and transactions, you know, maybe it's a little bit slower than what, you know, just throwing it in a hole and getting out a rate and moving on. We really like relationships, but the terms tend to be pretty flexible too. And I'll give you a good example. No federal credit union can do a multifamily loan that has a prepayment penalty. So 2 years ago, when rates plummeted, we had people who wanted to do business with us and they either had to eat the prepayment penalty or just wait till they're reset. Now, in today's world, the last 2 years, who cares if you got your prepayment penalty at a 3% rate? Okay. You're not paying it off anytime soon for a better deal.
Right.
But in today's world, in a rising interest rate market, if rates shift again, if we, heaven forbid, have another pandemic and rates plummet, you're in a flexible condition for the future where you can refinance and renegotiate that to current market rates.
Yeah, and that's huge. I always stress that to people that first, you obviously need to know your business plan, but you also need to know your exit strategy, right? And what really comes in big on your exit strategy is your loan, right? Is fees and fees, yield maintenance, prepayment penalties, whatever you want to call it. That can really alter your exit strategy. So to me, that's one of the biggest pros of a credit union is that that's not there. But I'd love to get into, Mark, you just touched on it, like the state of our market right now. Like things have changed. If we had this conversation this time last year, we'd be talking about a completely different thing. You know, rates would have been sub 4, terms would have been great, everything would have been amazing, rainbows, sunshine, headed to the beach. But things are different now. And so we're about to hear this, we're recording this on the 2nd of November. We're about to hear the Fed's announcement of another, they haven't announced it yet, but you know, it's most likely going to be another 75 basis point hike. And I just want to get your thoughts on where we're at and where you think we're going.
Sure. And first of all, the big difference between a year ago and today to me is twofold. And I'll touch on the hidden one first. And the first one is financial institutions' liquidity position is severely diminishing, severely. And I don't know about you, but when I go to the grocery store and fill up my car with gas, it costs a lot more than it used to.
Yes. Yeah. $100 bag of groceries doesn't weigh that much anymore.
So what's happening is when institutions get deposits in, that money is rolling out as fast as it comes in and even greater than it comes in. So deposits have been very flat and declining. Now, loan demand is as strong as ever across the board. Credit quality is very strong. Loan demand is very strong, and the loans are actually larger. Cars cost more, houses cost more, commercial real estate and multifamilies cost more. So it's really good to know who your lender is and where they get their money. A good example is credit unions are lending deposits. Typically, for every dollar of deposits in an institution, they're lending out about 85 to 90 cents in loans. So they have a lower cost of deposits and they're starting to pay more. Whereas an institution that's highly leveraged and is going out and borrowing money to then lend it to you, their costs are going to be significantly more and you're beholden to that secondary market. So you really have to know your lender and have an honest conversation with them. It's strange to say, I have to ask my bank what if they have money to lend me, but you have to ask that. Because we've seen tighter limitations, tighter restrictions, and the like. Now, on the interest rate side, that obviously is moving up quite a bit as well. And today, if you can get a deal that begins with a 6, consider it a good deal. It's kind of everywhere across the board. So we're seeing those numbers crunched. Now, here's the good news. Multifamily investing is still seen from a lender's perspective as some of the most desirable assets to lend into. People need a place to live. People need housing. It's more expensive, but that's going to be the first bills that they pay.
Yeah.
So your audience in the multifamily is very good, in a good position, because it's much different than some other discretionary industries that people, when bills are tight, they're going to pull back from some of those discretionary industries. Talking to you from my home today, because my office is empty and we haven't been there in quite some time and we're downsizing. So the office space is downsizing. Now, hotels have completely stunned me because they're booming across the board everywhere.
Yeah.
No matter what goes on, every hotel is doing great.
That and short-term rentals are, I've heard in some areas they've slowed down, but for the most part, yeah, that it surprises me. Still booming.
They've slowed down from astronomical growth,
yeah, right.
But it's still higher than it was a few years ago.
Right.
So that multifamily is really seen as the tried and true from a lender standpoint. And when we're talking with our credit union partners about financing, multifamily is still at the top of the list.
Well, that's always great to hear. Being a multifamily investor, from a credit union perspective, have you seen LTVs, loan to values, go down? So I know we've seen it from an agency standpoint, CMBS, LTVs have dropped for those type of lenders.
We have not seen it in the credit union space. And it's more for, once again, the structure of our balance sheets that we lend off of compared to some of the agency lenders out there. We have seen those. If anything, if there is one thing that we've seen tighten up is with the larger projects. Sometimes you have to take a second look to say, is this good for my balance sheet and what's my syndication sources? Because if we have $30 million to allocate to commercial loans this month and you make a $30 million loan, that chews up all of your money and you're telling a lot of people no. And people are trying to make sure they can split that around to as many projects as possible.
Okay, that makes sense. To go back to that point too, it seems the fact that the credit union is